you in the 06010.
Welcome into the Fantasy Focus DFS podcast, CSS DFS. You can find us on video most every Thursday, except for this week, on ESPN NFL's YouTube feed. And the podcast is presented by Geico. You can download Fantasy Focus wherever you listen to podcasts. Today's show is a little bit different than some of the other shows that we've had recently. And by recently, I mean basically this entire season, because Mike Clay and I have been in studio all year, but we had some things come up today, which made us have to be remote. So right now I am in Bristol. I just got done taping regular focus. Al and Mike are both at home. It is so great to see your faces digitally. Al, I'm going to start with you because I usually start with Mike. How you doing, man? You look good today.
Thank you. I mean, I'm still in studio. I'm just using camera one instead of camera two, and I don't have the lovely ESPN LA backdrop behind me as a part of this green screen. So everybody is allowed behind the curtain today. And like they see my stream background with the belt and with the all the other tchotchkes I have back there.
You know, your background actually looks like I would expect. Mike's background also looks as I was expecting. Because that's a is that a fax machine that I see right behind your head, Mike? Is that true?
It literally is a fax machine.
Yes. I thought so. Okay.
So that's literally just to print notes out of for this show, like for TV. So that's all that is for is a printer, but it has a phone on it. Yes. And it faxes, I guess. I mean, I don't know if it's set up, but I think it
Mike
works
has all
way.
Sorts of old relics in there. He's got a telex behind him.
Yeah,
got a fax machine,
a Mark Martin stand-up poster, a Drew Brees jersey, Dale Earnhardt stand-up thing. Yeah, we got all kinds of stuff going.
All sorts of good stuff at the Mike Clay compound.
I got my racing cockpit for iRacing there. You could sort of see there.
Oh yeah, I've sat in there and I've done iRacing at your house before, and it is so much fun.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. I'm working on an upgrade for the off season too. But guys, I'm excited to get into it. I'm just worried that the show's a little cursed though. I'll tell you why, because this is three consecutive weeks where there's been chaos in my house on the day of the show, whether it's a Wednesday or a Thursday. So 2 weeks ago, my car wouldn't start and my daughter got sent home from school, wasn't feeling well, or was home sick. It wasn't feeling well. The next week we thought we were in the clear. My other daughter got sent home from school, wasn't feeling well. All non-COVID related. And this week we had a close contact situation with one of my daughters got sent home and she's okay. She's clear. No, everybody's fine. Everybody's negative, but 3 weeks in a row, we're thrown into a loop here. So I don't know what's going to happen next week. Hopefully we can get back on track here.
Heck yeah. Specifically, I need to get back on track next week. And Mike, more importantly, I am really glad that everybody in the family is safe and that there's no issues there. I'm assuming you'll be back probably for Fantasy Football Now on Sunday because you do such an awesome job. And this Sunday, more than any Sunday, Fantasy Football Now will be super important with all the fluidity this week.
No doubt.
With that being said, I just want to quickly look back at week 15. Mike scored 149.84 fantasy points in our DraftKings league. I had a measly 120 led by Kyler Murray, who, boy, that hurt. Boy, that was tough. Mike, you had a really nice lineup, though. You have now won 8 of the 15 weeks that we've had so far. You're up 40 points from me aggregate on the season. I got to get back on track this week. I got to tell you, you're going to freaking love my lineup, Mike.
Oh, really?
Love it.
I'm excited to see it because it's been it was kind of tough. You know, sometimes the lineup just comes to me, you know, in other weeks, it's a little tougher. Last week felt easy. This week felt a little tricky, a couple of things to navigate. And as always, it's not a finished product. You know, we'll lead up to game time. We'll get a lot of information, but pretty comfortable with it when all was said and done. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Also, by the way, shout out M Mancuso 08. That was our winner in the league this past week. A nice showing there. So
heck yeah.
Well done by him.
Join our free league over at DraftKings. Free to enter, $200 in prizes. Follow at Mike Clay NFL. I am at Daniel Dopp. Al is at Al Zeidenfeld. We'll tweet out a link to the league for you guys to join. It's a ton of fun. And now let's get into it for our week 16 DFS slate. We're going to start at quarterback. And again, with all this being said, so much can change between when you're listening to this podcast and Sunday morning. So please make sure you're always looking at the latest news, ESPN.com, our rankings, all of our social handles, at Stefania Bell, at Stefania underscore ESPN. Actually, I take that back. for all of the latest injury news and updates this week. It's super important. So with that being said, Mike, at quarterback, Jalen Hurts, $6,400. We saw him last week, or actually yesterday. Yesterday is last week. scored two rushing touchdowns inside of the five. Boy, $6,500 for Jalen Hurts. Did he get the Tuesday night football discount, Mike?
Yeah, I guess to some extent. I'm thinking if this game was Sunday, his price might be a pinch higher. But yeah, first of all, shout out to him. Scoring the two rushing touchdowns literally knocked me out of a league. I was playing our good buddy Damien, our researcher, in our dynasty league that we're all in. Actually, Al, I don't know if you're in that, but we need to get you in at some point. But
we'll figure out a way.
Got knocked me out last night by that margin. The two rushing touchdowns could have easily, you know, handed it to Miles Sanders, got his buddy in the end zone, but you know, Hurts decided to do it himself. So well done by him. But yet another nice day on the ground. That was five rushing touchdowns in his last three games, and actually only had 38 rushing yards in this game, which was one of his lowest totals of the season. So he didn't even do a lot of damage on the ground from that perspective, but still, you know, he threw for 296, had an additional passing touchdown, averaged 11 and a half yards per attempt again. I mean, he's just doing it all. He's been really good this season. He's the seventh price quarterback. And again, it's too low. I mean, he leads all quarterbacks with 11 top 12 finishes this season. He has 16 or more points in all of those games. He has been money. He has had a high floor. He said very rarely has he had a dud game. They popped up here or there. And one of them actually was against this week's opponent, the Giants, a few weeks ago. But, you know, again, when you compare his price point to what he brings to the table and his high floor, I mean, remember, he's also second at quarterback in rushing attempts and yards. He's first in touchdowns. He has 14 carries inside the five. 14 carries inside the five. That's an astronomical number for a quarterback. And, you know, again, I know the Giants did a nice job against him in the first matchup, but they're mid-pack against quarterbacks. It's not like they've been shutting down that position. They've also faced the fourth most pass attempts. So teams are choosing to throw the ball against them. So again, I think maybe some people are maybe afraid of Hurts after what happened in the first meeting with these teams, but not me, not at 6,400. I think he's a good enough value to fire up this week.
Heck yeah. I love that. And again, he's still just using his legs, and I think they're still figuring it out. But I, anytime that you can get a quarterback like Jalen Hurts at sub 6,500, I feel like it's a pretty okay cash play with the way he's been playing. Al, let's talk about Matthew Stafford, one of my favorite quarterbacks. Dude has multiple touchdowns passed since his week 11 bye every single week. His three most of those weeks. Curious, what is it that you like this week about Matthew Stafford coming off a Tuesday night victory against the Seahawks?
I mean, what isn't to like? I mean,
everything right? Is to like.
First of all, they throw the ball a ton in neutral game situations. They constantly throw, even when they're up late. Now, obviously, as the season goes on, they throw more early in the season in McVay offenses than they do later in the season, or they're more efficient earlier in the season than they are later in the season, as most teams are, as injuries come on and players get more tired and all those sorts of things. Like we've seen an EPA drop per pass attempt for McVay offenses for quarterbacks since like 2018. As the season goes along. However, this is a great offensive environment against Minnesota. Teams play like 66 plus plays per game against Minnesota. So a very high paced spot for the Rams. The Rams already like to be kind of a fast paced team when they run their offense. There's direct spots that you can go to in tournaments here, and you're going to pay up, which is going to make you a little bit different. I think that there is kind of a Rams double with a bring back that is accessible and elite this week. So big time opportunity, a 300 yard bonus, massive opportunity at multiple touchdowns here. And you pretty much know where they're going to go. One of them is going to Cooper Kupp, and one of them is going to go to one of the other players. Cause really the Rams focus their offense around like four guys every week and have for the past 3-4 years. So like, you know where the ball's going. I love that when I'm stacking or double stacking a quarterback in tournaments, especially in a high paced environment with great offensive players coming back.
Heck yeah. Got a couple of other quarterbacks that we like. Lamar Jackson at $6,900, taking on the Cincinnati Bengals, assuming he plays. Mike or Al, either one of you, if he doesn't play, is Huntley somebody this week that with his price point is something you would look at based in the last 2 weeks, or is that still a little too shaky for either of your considerations?
Last week it worked out. Obviously, rushing quarterbacks have a much higher floor, so it's great for cash games. In the last three games that Huntley has played a lot of snaps, seven rush attempts, six rush attempts, and then 13 against Green Bay last week. He does tend to focus on Mark Andrews a lot, which makes him a great stackable option in tournaments. And then late in the game, they just kept throwing little 4-yard routes to Marquise Brown. He had like 47 catches for 38 yards on the final drive of the game. It was fantastic in full PPR. So you can double stack Huntley. He's only 6K and there's great bringbacks on Cincinnati for tournaments.
Heck yeah.
All right. Do you own or rent your home? Sure yes. You do. I'll bet it can be hard work too, but you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around the house. So go to geico.com, get a quote and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com. It's geico.com. All right, let's talk about a couple of running backs here. I'm a little bit surprised. Mike Clay. This is not a name I would have thought to see in week 16, but right. Devin Singletary, $5,100. You're saying is a cash game lineup consideration this week, taking on the Patriots. Talk to me about Singletary and why you like him here in week 16.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, the guy who I know Al's about to talk about is the exact same price point, but I think there's a case to go either way with this $5,100. And yeah, mine's Devin Singletary here going up against New England. Look, he's a 22nd price running back. He's had back-to-back top 15 fantasy weeks, right? So he has been good as of late. And the reason is, the Bills have decided, look, this is our feature back, and he has played a bell cow role. Last week, they played 64 offensive snaps. He was on the field for 60 of the 64, and he delivered with 96 yards and a touchdown in the game. And you might think, well, sure, but they're going up against the Patriots. This is a really good defense, and that is true against the pass. It is not true against the run. They've allowed the third highest yards per carry to running backs this season and the fourth most scrimmage yards to running backs this season. In fact, check this out. This one really jumped off the page to me. They've allowed at least 145 scrimmage yards to the opposing running back room in 10 of their 14 games this season. So you can absolutely, if you're running back, rack up yardage against this team. Maybe has somewhat of a cap ceiling since New England doesn't allow a ton of touchdowns, but that's not really where Singletary generally dominates, right? It's just big plays and now volume in a high scoring are highly productive, I should say, Buffalo Bills offense. So in the role he's in right now at 5,100, I just think it's too low. And, you know, maybe he's a little safer. It's a weird thing to say safe, but safer for a tournament setting, just because I think people are probably scared away from him based on his resume and against New England. But I still like him in cash a little bit. I do. Just his price is low enough that he can really do a lot by sticking a guy in there who could play 90%+ of the snaps.
Mm-hmm. All right. On the other side of that, Al, more from a tournament perspective, there's a couple of running backs that you also like, and Mike sort of alluded to it, both kind of inexpensive running, kind of both definitely inexpensive running backs here in Samaje Perine with an if then statement, and also Ronald Jones this week against the Panthers.
So Joe Mixon is going to be missing practices. We're going to have to monitor that situation as the week goes on. If Mixon's in, I'm not interested in Samaje Perine. If Mixon's out, Perine's like 4,400 and basically a free square. So monitor that situation. That's your if-then statement as the weekend approaches. The real one that we pretty much know about is that with Leonard Fournette out, Ronald Jones is 5,100 against Carolina. Now, they signed Le'Veon Bell? Yes?
Yes, they did.
Okay, so like there was already the assumption that Ronald Jones was not going to be the third down back in this offense. Tom Brady and him have sort of a, let's just say they have a contemptuous relationship on the field. However, last season and this season, now there's a guy that I follow on Twitter. He kind of tweeted this out the other day. And I have the per games for you as well. In the four games that Leonard Fournette missed last season, Ronald Jones had 26 touches for 128, 20 touches for 125, 25 for 121 and two touchdowns, 19 for 84 and one touchdown. That does not include his 198-yard game against Carolina in week 10, where Fournette played 29 snaps. That gentleman's name was Mike Clay NFL. Go follow him on the
Twitter
machine. Yeah, good dude. You know, I wish we could get him on the show. In those four games, he averaged, Ronald Jones averaged 18.95 points. That does not include the 3-point bonus because this is just PPR scoring, not DraftKings scoring. 102.5 yards and 4.5 targets. Even if he does not play on third downs, even if he's down 1 and 2, the Tampa Bay offense right now throws the ball so much on first and second down to running backs. We've stated on this show numerous times that Leonard Fournette leading the league in terms of running back catches, that there's enough meat on the bone in the passing game for Ronald Jones to be a fantastic running back on DraftKings with possibility of 100-yard bonus with massive touchdown upside here. Anytime that you're the lead back for the Buccaneers in this offense, if you play 65+, 70+% of the snaps, you're going to be in a prime position. I think that based on the current COVIDity that is going on around the league with backups being there, DraftKings did a great job of pricing up somebody like Alex Mattison to be kind of what he should be in the absence of Dalvin Cook if Dalvin Cook happens to miss. But they dropped the ball here on Ronald Jones, leaving him at 51 with Leonard Fournette at 73. Ronald Jones should be somewhere around 6,500. So we're getting a massive discount. And I think that he will be one of the most popular players on the slate, and for good reason.
And for good reason. Mm-hmm. All right. A couple of other players that we want to mention here. James Robinson, only $5,900 taking on the New York Football Jets. Mike, after last week, you think James Robinson sub 6K still a play here in draft in cash games?
Yeah, he's going to be hard not to play. Carlos Hyde's on IR. He's the feature back and they're facing the Jets. It's an outstanding matchup. So foreshadowing, yes, I'll have Robinson in my lineup against the league's worst defense against running backs.
That's fair. A couple other sub 6K running backs. David Montgomery, $5,700 against Seattle. And Miles Sanders, after a big Tuesday night, $5,600 against the Giants. Also have Austin Eckler, $8,100 mm-hmm. taking on the Houston Texans. All right, let's move on to some wide receivers. And Mike, we'll talk about, first up, Tom Brady's potential return wide receiver, Antonio Brown. We are not sure, as of this taping, what's going to happen with Antonio Brown, if he is officially going to be back this week or not. But with the assumption that he plays this week, he is $4,900 taking on the Carolina Panthers. Is there any way that if Antonio Brown plays, he's not like a, I don't want to say a free square in cash, but mm-hmm. with everyone else being out in that offense, is he a lock it in at that price point?
Yeah, I think he's pretty close to a free square, right? And by the way, this assumes that Mike Evans does play, and he may not. Right. So sure. And I'll get into more of that in a second, but I love him as a value, even if Mike Evans plays. Of course, he's just too cheap. He's the 30th price wide receiver. And during his five active weeks this season, he's seventh at wide receiver in fantasy points. He averaged 8.4 targets per game. He scored four touchdowns in those five games. And that was with a healthy group around him. Right. Gronk played in a big chunk of those games. Certainly Leonard Fournette was there. Godwin and Evans were there. And still he had that level of production. So again, really like him. And to put kind of a number on the targets that are available here. So there's going to be for sure no Chris Godwin, Leonard Fournette, or Gio Bernard. They total 40% of the team's targets this season. And if Evans is out, that jumps to 57% in the pass heaviest offense in the NFL. That's a wow. ton of targets, a ton of availability. You know, he could be somewhat limited and still see seven targets in this game. So there's just so much to like. And you look at the matchup against the Panthers, they've allowed the sixth fewest fantasy points to receivers, but they've allowed the fifth most over expected. Why? Because they don't face much volume. They face the third fewest wide receiver targets. Their efficiency has not been very good. And when teams that are heavy volume passing teams face them, they produce, right? And that shows up in the efficiency. An example of that is the fact that, you know, seven receivers have reached 20 points against them this season. One of them happened just last week. Gabriel Davis had the big game. Now, we did like Davis last week. He was in my DFS line, and we talked about him in receiver cornerback matchups on Fantasy Football Now. We expected Stephon Gilmore to shadow Stephon Diggs, which was a good matchup for Davis, right? And that's exactly how it transpired. Now, if Mike Evans plays, you might see Gilmore on him, which would open the door for Brown to have a big game here. If Evans is out, it might make it a little bit tricky, right? But in that case, I don't know if Gilmore will shadow him, just because put yourself in their position, right? They're practicing all week. They don't know if Evans is going to play, and they're probably trying to sort out what they want to do. Who is Gilmore going to study? Is he just going to play aside? Is he just going to move around, not cover one guy? It makes it tough on defenses, and that's why sometimes when a guy's questionable all week, you don't see a shadow situation, because they don't know. They don't know how to prepare for who they're going to face. So I'm not too, that's all a long way of saying I'm not overly concerned about a shadow scenario for Brown. And I'm not super concerned about him being overly limited just because they need him. They have, with all these other guys out, they need him in this game, and I do expect him to play. So yes, barring something unforeseen, he should be pretty much a cash lineup lock.
Can I ask Mike a question here?
Absolutely.
Me, an idiot, would like to ask Mike, an expert, a question. One, Antonio Brown expects to run out of the slot, I would assume, or are they going to run Perriman out of the slot? That's A. B, does Gilmore travel to the slot if he is possibly going to shadow? That's B. And then who else is left to throw to in the case that Evans isn't there? It's like Tyler Johnson on one side, Perriman on the other side, Brown out of the slot, correct? And then Gronk, obviously.
Well, Scotty Miller, maybe?
They actually put Tyler Johnson in the slot most recently. So I actually think he'll be inside most of the time. That's what they did last week. And I think that's what they'll do moving forward. They'll move guys around. Like Mike Evans has been in the slot almost 40% of the time this year, right? So he'll be inside if he plays some. Scotty Miller has generally played outside, but they can bounce him around. Brown has lined up inside 18% of the time this year. Johnson's over 30%. And that was with a big boost this past week. So my guess would be their primary package would be Evans and Brown outside, Tyler Johnson in the slot. And then, you know, you'll get creative and put Perriman outside sometimes. Miller will get some routes, maybe Jalen Darden a little bit, but that's how I would expect that to be framed. As for Gilmore, 88% of the time he's been outside this year, but again, you know, there's been occasions where he has moved inside. You know, 12% slot for a primary perimeter and shadow corner is actually a decent number, probably a little above average for some of these guys. So will he occasionally go inside to follow maybe Brown or Evans? Maybe. Yeah, he could, but it's not something that would be massively concerning to me if I was setting up shop. And is that it? Did I miss something?
Like, he doesn't normally reside in the slide. He doesn't normally travel.
Yeah. 88% perimeter this year. So that's where I suspect he'll be for a majority of the game.
All right, Al, let's talk about your tourney look. Cooper Kupp, $9,100. Is this just one of those things where, like, oh, let me look, it's a new week, so Cooper Kupp should be in my lineup again? Is it one of those kind of things?
So yeah, this was how I used to play daily fantasy NBA. So it was around 2014, I believe. And I was doing a show with friend of the podcast, Peter Jennings, AKA CSU Ram 88. Yep. And he would ask me, he said, okay, Al, are you playing Kevin Durant today? Like, Kevin Durant had this stretch for like 6 weeks where he was averaging like 40 real life points a game in NBA. And he said, are you going to play him? And he was out in fantasy on drafting. It was like 70 to 75 points. And which is absurd for NBA. He said, are you playing Kevin Durant? I said, well, let me ask you a couple of questions. Is there an NBA slate tonight? He said, yes. I said, well, is OKC on the slate? Yes. Is Kevin Durant playing? Yes. Well, then I'm playing him. Like, that, it's that simple. Like, you know, I'll let everybody else figure out where they're going to find 75 points. That's kind of how I feel about Cooper Kupp at this point. If we had premium lock plays, CMC is a premium lock play who can get there on volume alone pretty much every single week. And if he scores touchdowns, just the cherry on top of the sundae that really pushes you towards that 45 point week. Cooper Kupp is that guy. I have a note here from Thirsty Kyle, who says, Cooper Kupp, first note, NFL leader in everything.
That's true. That's accurate.
Yeah. So, you know, 39.2% of the Rams receiving yards, 36.1% of their receptions, 33% target share. No other player is over 30%, 290 more receiving yards than anybody else. He could break like every receiving record. Well, not everyone, but a lot of the receiving record. He could break the receiving yards record on the season. He could break the Rams receiving touchdowns record this season. He's absolutely absurd. And with the Rams, basically, they're what, 99% to make the playoffs? They're almost locked into a spot at this point based on the playoff projection article. Like, it'd be almost impossible for them to get out. Now it's a situation where, do they just try to get him looks? Not like they aren't doing that already, but do they just try and force him statistically across that finish line to get him these career milestones? There's a possibility of it. And like we said, this is a great spot against Minnesota, who plays up in pace and allows a lot of long touchdowns. And they do a great job of schematically getting Kupp open. Every week I see tweets from like very smart people, Mina Kimes, other smart, Barnwell, a lot of very smart people at ESPN. They're like, how is Cooper Kupp this wide open? It would be probably beneficial for a defense to just cover Cooper Kupp. Why don't you just do that? Like, they do great things to get him into space, and Stafford knows when he's going to be there. So
yes, he does.
He's going to be open. He's going to get 10 plus targets. He's gotten, what is the number? Multiple red zone targets in 10 of his 14 games this year. That's where you score the most fantasy points. So I'm going to keep playing Cooper Kupp, and I'll let y'all figure out where to find your 30 points at wide receiver.
Yep. I agree. He's 89 more fantasy points than any other wide receiver. He's a fantasy MVP. And by the way, they're playing the Vikings. They have allowed the most fantasy points to wide receivers this season. So as if you needed even more incentive, it's a great matchup.
Okay. A couple of wide receivers that we like. Hollywood Brown, $5,800, taking on the Bengals. DJ Moore, $5,700, taking on Tampa Bay. Laquon Treadwell, a name you have not heard in a minute, came on last week with the Jaguars, taking on the New York Football Jets. Zay Jones, $3,500, taking on the Broncos. Brandon Cooks came to life last week, $6,300, taking on the Los Angeles Chargers. And Emmanuel Sanders, I want to talk about this one. Mike, obviously, it looks like the Bills are going to be without Cole Beasley this week, given the COVID-19 list. Gabe Davis was a great call last week as a cheaper option. What is it that you like about Emmanuel Sanders, just really quickly in comparison, or why is his price point here good for him?
Yeah, I remember he was out last week, but if he does play, you know, tough matchup going up against New England, but you know, there's no Cole Beasley, right? So you're going to have Stephon Diggs on one side. He's going to draw JC Jackson shadow coverage against a really good Patriots pass defense, but you know, you're not as intimidated about the other matchups. Like, they haven't allowed a lot to the slot, which is where Sanders will be if he is able to go in this game, but he's only 4K, right? And we know Buffalo is going to have to throw the ball a lot, and they had opportunities to score points in tough conditions against the Patriots in that first meeting. Like, as good as the Patriots defense is, it is, they've had kind of a light schedule this season, right? So I think there's definitely an opportunity here if you're, you know, you're looking to save at a wide receiver slot and Sanders is active, especially from a tournament setting, because people are not going to want to use Emmanuel Sanders, especially with them on Gabriel Davis, that he could have some, you know, there's an opportunity to utilize him here. I think he's a sneaky play at just 4K. It's just so, so cheap for a guy who should play a pretty substantial role if he's able to go. And again, Davis is 700 more, and Davis has been running behind Sanders all season long. So that's really the case here for Sanders. He just really does have a path to a significant workload, and he's very cheap.
Okay. This episode is also brought to you by Captain Morgan. NFL fans know that with the season almost wrapping up, you got to have the right players for all 60 minutes to bring that spark. And sometimes you got to sub in someone to switch things up. Same thing goes with a drink in your hand on game day. So if you're looking to sub in something more refreshing, pour yourself a delicious crisp Captain Morgan original spiced rum and ginger. Sub in the Captain Morgan, the official spiced rum of the NFL. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find Captain near you. Drink responsibly. Captain Morgan Rum Company, New York, New York. All right, let's close this out with some tight ends before we talk about our lineups this week. Mike, we'll start with you. Cole Kmet, $3,300, taking on the Seattle Seahawks. Is it wrong for me to think that Cole Kmet's going to score more fantasy points than Allen Robinson this week?
No, will
Cole
Kmet
score more fantasy points on the season than Allen Robinson? Is that possible? This is another.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he probably does, right? I mean, Robinson is one weekly finish better than 45th, I think.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, that, and by the way, Kmet has not scored a touchdown this year, which, you know, I'll get into in a second, which has hurt him. But, yeah, Robinson has been obviously bad. So, you know, I'll be honest. Tight end was tough this week trying to figure this spot out. That's where I had the most trouble. Mm-hmm. I want to spend up for Mark Andrews again. He's up to 7K now. It gets a little tougher. Gronk is really interesting at 6,200. If you could find a way to get him. And I love that, obviously, with Godwin out, maybe Evans out. He's going to be very, very busy. Maybe Dallas Goedert, 25% target share since Zach Ertz left. I like him at 5,100 as well. So, you know, you have some options, but I ended up, the way the lineup worked out was I ended up going cheap here. And I do like Cole Kmet as a value play, at least in cash, a high floor sort of option. He's the 17th priced tight end. He has six or more targets in six of his last eight games, coming off a pretty good game against Minnesota. Nine targets, got six for 71, you know, gets you a solid 13 fantasy points. But again, like I said, the problem here is his last touchdown was week 13 of last season. You know, is that bad luck to some extent? Yes. His expected touchdown total is 2.8. He has 4 end zone targets. So there has been some opportunity there, and perhaps some regression to the mean will kick in. And if he scores one touchdown, you're going to pay off his $3,300 salary pretty quickly. So there's that. And then the matchup, you're facing Seattle here. They've allowed the 6th most fantasy points to tight ends, 8 touchdowns. That is 4th most. And we, you know, recently they have really struggled. Now, Tyler Higbee was out on Tuesday night, right? So they didn't have to face some backups, didn't allow much. But since week 11, George Kittle put up 40 points against him. Zach Ertz had 29 points in a game. Even Brevin Jordan at 13, one of his better games. So they've been kind of exposed there recently. Kmet has seen the volume, and, you know, he is a candidate to get back on track to some extent again in the touchdown department. So at 3,300, I think if you want to punt that spot, that's a great route to go.
You know, a guy who's been on track in the touchdown department is the guy that Al wants to talk about, Mark mm-hmm. Andrews at $7,000 taking on Cincy. Al, Mark Andrews has lit it up the last couple of weeks. Is this one of those things where spending up at tight end here is the play? Is it contrarian, or is it just, hey man, that's where the value is at, because Mark Andrews has been freaking amazing so far?
So typically speaking, tight end is a position that people pay up for a little bit, but not consistently. They would usually pay up for one guy that gets to about 15% in tournaments, and then the other ones kind of lag behind. So typically it's been Kelce that historically people the last 2 years, 3 years would pay up for and get to about 15%. You could overweight that if you play a lot of lineups to get to 25 or 30% across your portfolio. It's been Mark Andrews recently. As I said, Snoop tends to target him a lot more than Lamar does, but it's not like Lamar doesn't target Mark Andrews. We have big time upside here, good yard per attempt, good A dot for Mark Andrews, big time end zone target guy for them. When they get close, they just zero in on Mark Andrews. 3 players in the NFL the last 3 games have 100 receiving yards and a touchdown, or at least 3 games: Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams, and Mark Andrews. So you're paying $7,000 for somebody who, the people that do what he can do statistically for fantasy at wide receiver are 8,500 and 9,000. So you're getting kind of a 1,500 discount there if you treat him like he was a wide receiver and you find a wide receiver who's cheap that can do something, like a Laquon Treadwell, who we mentioned earlier on the show. Defense and tight end are the 2 biggest differentiation spots in daily fantasy tournaments, because the 5th highest wide receiver typically will have a competitive score with the top scoring wide receiver. Same at running back, same at quarterback. When it comes to defense and tight end, the 5th scoring defense will typically have like 15 less points than top scoring tight end if there's a differentiating defense. Same at tight end, where if you have Mark Andrews, there's very few tight ends who can realistically get you 25 to 40 DraftKings points on a game. There's like Dallas Goedert, Mark Andrews, Kelce, maybe Gronkowski if he catches a couple of touchdowns. These guys that have that, Kittle as well, that have that 100-yard, 8-catch, 120-yard, 8-catch touchdown or 2 touchdown possibility, Mark Andrews sits in there. And if you hit on one of those weeks, not only do you cash in tournaments, you isolate yourself as one of the only players in that tournament that has a shot to come in first.
Sure. Love all of that. We're going to mention then a couple of these guys real quick. Rob Gronkowski, Mike already talked about earlier on the show, $6,200. CJ Uzama, $3,000 taken on Baltimore as another possible punt play here this week. And then just mentioned Mark Andrews. I got to be honest, I've been waiting all show. Mike, I can't wait to hear your lineup. Beard versus the Brain is brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today. Mike Clay, you are up on me 8-7 so far in our head-to-head matchup this year. Give me your week 16 head-to-head lineup.
All right, let's do it. Rolling with Jalen Hurts, of course, at the quarterback position. I did debate Matthew Stafford there. Al talked about him earlier, so I like that option as well. Running backs, I'm going Cordarrelle Patterson. We didn't talk about him, but he fits in here. He's still been productive, so rolling with him for the time being. Devin Singletary, mentioned him. James Robinson, locking him in, so one of those 3 will be in the flex. Antonio Brown at wide receiver, along with, of course, Cooper Kupp, lock him in there. And Hollywood Brown coming in at 5,800. I like him. Heavily targeted, a lot of underneath stuff, but heavily targeted last week. So I'm going to roll with him. Cole Kmet at tight end. And then Broncos defense, 2,800. They're in Las Vegas against the Raiders offense that just can't score right now. So I'll take Denver at 2,800. So There you go. And now I'm excited to hear yours though, because you're talking yours up. I hear a lot of confidence. So
it's not confidence. I'm just saying that I think I've got my lineup is also okay.
It's not confidence.
You're gonna hate it though. My lineup, I'm gonna start with my wide receivers. I'm gonna go with Cooper Kupp, Justin Jefferson, and Antonio Brown. So I'm taking both Kupp and Jefferson in the same game with Antonio Brown as a possible play there in the Tampa game. My running backs are going to be Cordero Patterson, just like Mike Clay, and James Robinson taking on the Jets, who I think has an awesome option there at $5,900. My tight end is CJ Uzama at $3,000. I'm playing Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Okay.
$5,600 taking on the Atlanta Falcons on the other side of that Cordero Patterson play. He's had 12, 12, and 11 targets each of the last 3 weeks. I'm actually playing the Lions defense at $2,600 with $4,000. David Blau is my quarterback this week.
What?
Because that allows me to get Justin Jefferson, Cooper Kupp, Cordero Patterson, James Robinson. Oh my gosh. I get to start all of the stars just by playing a guy that's going to score 150 yards and one touchdown. Yeah. It's perfect.
Wow. And that guy, you wanted to jam in Justin Jefferson against Jalen Ramsey. That's a bold decision right there coming off.
You know what I was thinking about when I did this lineup, Mike? When I was looking at it, I was like, yeah, I can put together a lineup. Part of me wants to see how could I get Cooper Kupp and Justin Jefferson in the same lineup. This is going to change 70 times by the time we get to Sunday with all of the news on everything.
Right.
So, you know, part of me is like, let me see, like, how can I jam some things in here that I like? And is there a way I could even play it? I'm going to roll with it though. For now, we'll see what happens. It might be a bad option. Probably will change, but you know,
yeah. So it's always a starting point. By the way, David Blau, for those who are not Detroit Lions fans like yourself, he is Jared Goff's backup. So if Goff doesn't play, of course, he would step in there. So we'll
right now, Jared Goff on the COVID-19 list. Yeah. So there's a chance that he's there. He is the cheapest price you could possibly get at $4,000 a quarterback. Al Zeidenfeld, talk to us about your week 16 tournament lineup.
You also get a little bit of extra Detroit correlation there.
Yeah, you do
for your lineup, right? Like you get the Blau in your lineup, but you also get to use, you get to every time he does something, you can use an M&M line, times up over Blau. Every single time he does anything, you're going to say that this weekend, 100%. So you get that, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown correlation and the M&M correlation to go with it. I'm doing exactly what Daniel did. I found a different way. I want to get Cooper Kupp and Jefferson in there. So I've got Stafford, Cooper Kupp, Van Jefferson, and Justin Jefferson. So I have, you know, the back and forth correlation, the push and pull, and double Jefferson correlation in this lineup. Ronald Jones and Singletary at running back. I'm going with Antonio Brown because he's too cheap at 4,900, should get 10 plus targets, could theoretically get 10 plus targets in this spot. CJ Uzoma because he fits, and the Texans defense because they fit.
Yep.
Okay.
There it is.
I mean, CJ Uzoma's not bad. Al, it looks like you and I just have really smart, kind of like analytical, well thought out lineups. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And so Mike I just kind of threw some stuff at a wall.
Well,
I'm joking. I love Jalen Hurts. Mike going with the four running back lineup. I like
it. Yes, sir. One running back throws the ball. And Patterson could do it all. So who knows?
Yeah.
But yeah, good stuff. Like the stacks there for sure. And by the way, Uzama, why is he popping up this week? Well, his usage is up a little bit, and the last time they played Baltimore, you remember, that was Joe Burrow's best game, and Uzama had two long touchdowns. So interesting name there for sure.
Just to close this out, saw a tweet from Santa Baby, which is Ben Baby's new name. Bengals running back Joe Mixon will practice today per Zach Taylor. I think Joe is feeling pretty good, Zach Taylor says. So that is positive for all Joe Mixon managers, but it would sort of curtail the Samaje Perine conversation we had a little earlier in the show. Sorry, Al.
No, it's fine. We'll find appreciate more
you guys. That's right. It'll be somewhere out there. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. Thank you for understanding over a holiday week that we kind of things got out of sorts and we needed to record it the way that we did. But we appreciate everyone so much for sticking around all season and hanging out with us. It is a ton of fun. You guys bless our lives in so many ways. So to you and everybody, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, all the love to you and yours from Mike and Al and I. We love you guys. We'll see you next week in week 17 and good luck here over the Christmas weekend.
It's no secret, not a mystery. The one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate, Full Sail, you.
a Lions fan through and through, with the hippest beard, I'm telling you.